The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. It's Friday, and we can talk about anything you want to talk about. I always have a big stack of stories that I want to share with you, but that does not mean I don't want to hear from you. I would love to. And on Fridays, we can talk basically about anything you want to talk about, within reason. My number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Some of you called earlier in the week, and it was off topic. And Jeff, my engineer screener, said, well, that's off topic. Why don't you call on Friday? Well, it's Friday. My number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Have you thought recently what it means to be in Christ and to have Christ in you? It's one of the most powerful truths in all of the New Testament. Christ in you. You in Christ. Jesus talks about that truth in John chapter 14, John chapter 17, but he also talks about it in other places, and Paul hits it heavily. The theme, one of the theme verses for our ministry, Crossfire Ministries, is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Now, crucified people die. They use the cross and crucifixion for one purpose, and it was not rehabilitation. If you were crucified, you died. I am crucified with Christ, dead. Dying with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. If you are born again, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God has moved into you and taken up residence. It's one of the wonderful things that Jesus was teaching the disciples. In John chapter 15, he is preparing them for his departure. And he says, the Spirit is with you, but he will be in you. And a few verses later, he says, the Spirit will abide, take up residence, live in you. Now, that was a revolutionary concept. Because all through the Old Testament and up until the time of Jesus' crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, the Spirit of God would come and go. If you wanted to visit, if you will, the presence of God, you would find the tabernacle. Later, you would find the temple in Jerusalem. And the plan was, if you wanted to see God, you traveled to the tabernacle in the wilderness or the temple in Jerusalem. And the presence of God, the Spirit of God, was demonstrated through the Shekinah glory. Throughout the wilderness, you know, it was the cloud by day, the fire by night. When the tabernacle was dedicated, The cloud came down and filled the Holy of Holies, and the people knew, woo, God is here. When Solomon dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles, when it was all done and finished, they had a prayer of dedication. And the presence of God moved in, and when the people saw it, they all fell on their faces, not just on their knees. They fell on their faces around the temple because God was there. We find many instances in the Old Testament when the Spirit of God would come and visit someone in many different ways. Abraham, the presence of Melchizedek. The burning bush with Moses. The visitors that came to Abraham when he was sitting in the tent one day. The Spirit of God would come and visit and then would leave. The Spirit of God would descend upon the tabernacle and then leave. The Spirit of God would descend upon the temple and then leave. And what a wonderful thing that God would visit with people, human beings. And then Jesus comes. And he promises very soon, it's all going to change. You have the Spirit with you, but soon he will be in you. And theologians have debated when that actually happened, but certainly by the time you come to the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God comes into the heart and the life of anyone and everyone that trusts Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Part of the package, and I don't mean that in a disrespective way at all, but part of the package you get when you get saved, when you are born again, is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why the New Testament says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's one of the most wonderful principles in the Bible, is that the presence of God lives and dwells inside of his believers. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple, the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost? See, it's the same principle. God dwelt in the tabernacle and then in the temple, and now he dwells in earthy, physical, fleshly tabernacles, our bodies. I go through all of that just to tell you today, I don't know where you are in your Christian walk, and I don't know what's going on in your life, I don't know what's going on in your family, but if you know Jesus Christ the Savior, and that's the first question, I'm not talking about baptism, church membership, or any of that. If you have been born again by the Spirit of God, if there was a time and a place when you confessed your sins, acknowledged that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, and he was resurrected and is alive today, and you accept by faith the gift of salvation, at that moment, God is in you. And the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. And one of the members of the Trinity takes up residence in you and lives in you. And in Jesus' high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, which is just one of the pinnacles of the New Testament, there's this principle that Jesus talks about. I'm in them, they are in me. Jesus says to his Father, I'm in you, and they're in me, and I'm in them. And this intimate relationship that we have with the Godhead, that Christ can literally become our life. Christ can literally become our life through the indwelling Spirit of God. And you need to understand that. And This is not the reason I went through this, but if you don't understand that and don't comprehend it, I hope you get the DVD series that we have put out with Crossfire Ministries. And again, the reason I went through that was not to sell anything, because we don't make anything. We don't. But we have developed a 7-lesson series called Living in Victory. And it will explain to you, from a thoroughly biblical point of view, what it means to be in Christ and Christ in you. It's a valuable resource. Churches across the country are beginning to use it for small groups, Sunday school classes, and so forth. You can go to crosspower.net. That's the website, crosspower.net, and click on store, and you can order it. It's an extremely important principle, folks, that very few Christians really understand. What does it mean to be in Christ?
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Where do you have your identity? Now, very, very serious and very, very important question. What is your identity? Where do you find your identity? I would imagine for many of you, your identity is in being a mom. That's really great. Some of you, your identity is being a dad. Your ultimate desire is to be the best dad you can possibly be, and that's your identity. Some of you, your identity is your job. You're an executive. You worked hard. You've risen through the ranks, and you've got a great job with lots of influence and maybe a good income. And your identity, the way you want people to perceive you, is your business success. Some of you, in fact, probably many of you, your identity is in your physical appearance. And so you are consumed with developing the best physical appearance that you possibly can, because you want people to think well of your physical appearance. And you associate your identity with the way you look, your physical ability, your looks. I would imagine that some of you, your identity is in sports and hobbies and, you know, what you do in your spare time or your idle time. My friend, if your identity is in any of those things, you're in serious trouble. If your identity is in being a mom, what happens if there is a break in relationship with your children, and or something happens to one of those children? If that's your identity, you're going to crash in flames. If your identity is in being a father and how your kids perceive you and relate to you, what happens? You get a rebellious teenager or a rebellious adult, or tragically, one of them dies. If that's your identity, you're going to crash in flames. If your identity is in your physical appearance, what happens if something happens to your physical appearance? What happens if you're in an accident and you're scarred in some way? Or what if you just can't control your weight, or you just don't have the ability to do the exercise that you used to? And if your identity is in anything in the physical, your appearance, your weight, your hair, your face, your physique, your waist, you're in serious trouble. Because what happens if something happens to that? If your identity is in your job, your profession, what happens if you're laid off? What happens if something tragic happens in your business, your profession? Here's what I want to challenge you with. If you know Christ as Savior, then your identity must be in Christ. When Joy and I do what we call a Cross Power Weekend, we spend quite a bit of time on what we call the self-esteem hoax. We have been sold a bill of goods that we must build our self-esteem, and the key to happiness and success is positive self-esteem. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. Because your self-esteem is dependent upon what other people say about you and think about you. And it changes constantly. Your identity is not determined by your self-esteem. And here's what I want to share with you. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you are in Christ. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are justified. You are proclaimed to be holy. You're an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. You can come to the throne of God anytime, night or day, because you are the firstborn and the child of, in the family of God. God doesn't have stepkids. There's no such thing as the secondborn. Self-esteem changes constantly, but your identity in Christ never changes because it's dependent upon what God has declared you to be in Christ. It's a declaration by the God of the universe about who you are, not because of anything you've done or can do or will do, but because of what Christ has done for you. One of the most important lessons you will ever learn in your life, folks, is that you are in Christ. Understand what that means. And I'll tell you what, when we do a Crosspower Weekend, we have a handout. And there's either 27 or 28 New Testament verses that describe who and what you are in Christ. Just simply the Word of God. If you'll send me an email, bob@bobtalk.com, I will send you a copy of that. Free. I'll just attach it to your email. It's powerful. Verses about who and what you are in Christ. If you will send me an email, bob@bobtalk.com, as soon as I can, I'll attach this handout. It's either 27 or 28 verses in the New Testament, and every single one of them gives you a powerful, important truth about who and what you are in Christ. My friend, if you will start meditating on those verses, it'll change your life. In Christ, that must be your identity. All right, we'll be right back.